Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, Food for the Body, Food for the Soul.
Our scripture lesson today is now the actual recounting of the fish and the loaves. It begins in the Gospel of John, chapter 6. It says, after this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which was also called the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. And Jesus went up the mountain, sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. And when he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, actually, for he himself knew what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not be enough to buy bread for each of them to even get a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but seriously, what are they among so many people?" And Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. And then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. And when the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Oscar, thank you. We're going to continue in John, John chapter 6, as Jesus then explains this miracle the very next day. Jesus said to them, meaning the disciples, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." Amen. And let us pray. Lord, thank you for the gift that you have given to us. Now, as we sit beneath the teaching of your word, we would pray that the words of my mouth, that the meditations of our hearts together might find acceptance in your sight. Every thought that we think, every action that we take, may it be pleasing to you and for you, and that to your honor and glory. We pray it through Christ our Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. Is that someone's stomach I hear growling? Maybe it's one of yours. In fact, it may likely be mine. Or maybe it isn't a stomach that's growling at all. Maybe it's a soul that is growling. May it yours. Maybe it is mine. We would do well to learn to listen to both of those kinds of growling. In our gospel lesson, which Oscar just read for us, Jesus performs perhaps his most famous miracle, the feeding of the 5,000. While each of the 4 gospel writers have particular stories that they love to tell, all 4 of them love to tell this story. This is the one miracle of Jesus that all 4 of the gospel writers include. This one made an impression on them. Jesus is with his disciples, again, in some remote spot, somewhere along the northern shores of the Sea of Galilee, and he is in desperate need of rest for himself. Rest from the demands of ministry. A good reminder to us that the fully divine Jesus is also the fully human Jesus. And if he needed rest from his labors, it makes sense that we need rest from ours as well. And so he steals away from the disciples and from the crowds that now he sees are following him. They had seen the miracles. John calls them the signs which he had been doing, signs of healing. And they were wanting for more. But rather than going higher and deeper into seclusion, as we might do in that circumstance, Jesus responds to their needs. A second good lesson he gives us here as to how we might respond to the interruptions which come into our organized and well-planned days. Willingly, not begrudgingly, seeing them as an opportunity to do ministry, seeing them as an opportunity to provide some helpful service, perhaps even seeing them as an opportunity to perform a miracle. We know the story. He turns to Philip, one of the disciples, and asks, "Where are we to buy bread for all of these people to eat?" Another good insight about Jesus here. He recognizes the needs of the people around him, perhaps even hears their stomachs growling, and then chooses to act rather than to ignore or to avoid. And in so doing, he invites those of us who follow in his name, follow in this way, also to take notice of the people around us and their needs as well, and then join him in doing something about them. Of course, Philip states the obvious. The place is remote. Their resources are insufficient to meet this overwhelming need. And we know that feeling too as well, don't we? But then Andrew, another of the 12, steps forward with this meager provision of a peasant boy's lunch, 5 barley loaves, 2 small fish, and even that minimal offering of food and of faith is sufficient for Jesus to perform this miraculous miracle. After instructing the disciples to have the people sit down, all 5,000 of them, Jesus takes that meager offering, blesses it, breaks it, gives it to that hungry crowd, and then he proceeds to do exactly the same with the fish, and they eat, and they all are filled. And then, once all had eaten, Jesus instructs the disciples to collect all of the leftovers, all of the fragments, 12 baskets full. You see, nothing is wasted in the economy of God. If we were to hear nothing else but John's telling of this miracle story, it would be enough for us to surmise the meaning of Jesus' miracle. If he, the Lord, hears and responds to the hunger pangs of the crowds around him, then we who are called to live and serve in his name must also do the same. You see, what Jesus does for us, the church is then called to do for others in his name. And the difference between the needs of the crowd then and the needs of our neighbors now is simply a matter of the economy of scale. It is not a matter of the economy of heaven. If Jesus was attuned to hear the growling stomachs of people then we must be as well today. According to the organization Feeding America, 42 million of our citizens, 42 million, 1 in 8 experience food insecurity. Of those 13 million, 1 in 6 are children. More locally, 22% of residents in Marion County rely on some form of food assistance, SNAP, WIC, food pantries, congregate meals, and still 5% of our neighbors have unmet needs for food, half of those being children. Friends, this is in the wealthiest nation in the world. I hope you were able to worship with us last Sunday and then to participate with us in the virtual amazing lunch during which we were able to see the videos and hear the stories about the Emoja Project, a ministry we support in Western Kenya where we help to feed orphan and vulnerable children. If you missed it last week, it is still available to us online. I visited the Emoja Project in 2012, and still, nearly a decade later, I picture those hungry children with those stomachs growling as I read this passage from John chapter 6. And I'm grateful that we are participating to help in Jesus' name to feed those children, just as I am very grateful for the ministry that we do and have done for decades now with the Open Door. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, coming alongside our neighbors, as we do with the Fresh Stop, our farm to church ministry, which I'm looking forward to, we'll start up again soon, to the support we have given, the founding that we gave to the Mid-North Food Pantry and other means that we are hearing the call of the gospel and responding to the needs around us. But still, despite all that we and so many others do, I still am sympathetic to the expression of Philip in our lesson, looking at the vastness of the need around us, locally, nationally, much less globally. And I wonder, why are still so many people hungry? And all that I've read, it comes to two fundamental reasons: unemployment and poverty. And both of those disproportionately affect racial and ethnic minorities. The overall poverty rate in the United States in 2019 was 10.5%, 9% among whites, 19% among blacks, 16% among Latinos. 200,000 people in Marion County live in what is called a food desert, an area defined as lacking affordable and healthy food options within a one-mile radius of home. And that represents 33% of our population, including our neighbors just outside our doors. Again, those most susceptible to unemployment and poverty. You see, responding to the physical needs of our neighbors, be they near or far, is not an abdication of the gospel. It's not a ministry or a service that we should pass off to a social service agency, as some might suggest. Rather, as we read this lesson, it is the call of the gospel, as is our advocacy to work toward making fundamental changes, just changes, if you will, to the policies and the practices and the programs which keep so many people in such dire circumstances. Food for the body is as much a spiritual matter as it is a physical matter. And for that reason, it is essential that we hear both sections of the gospel lesson that we read this morning. The first section tells of the miracle. The second section tells of Jesus' explanation of it. If we would listen to only the first teaching, the part that Oscar read for us, we might assume that Jesus is only interested in providing food for the body. And if we were to listen only to the second half of the teaching, the portion of the gospel lesson that I read, we might assume that he was only interested in providing food for the soul. And neither assumption, without the other, would give us a full understanding of the call of the gospel. So, we read, the very next day, Jesus is with his disciples, and he begins talking with them about the miracle they had all witnessed the day before. And he explains it to them, and in so doing, utters another of his famous I am statements. You recall 2 weeks ago, Oscar preached a wonderful message on Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Last week, we looked together at Jesus' famous saying, I am the good shepherd. Today, we hear, I am the bread of life. Again, in each of these, he very aptly uses a metaphor, referring to himself as something he is not, in this case, a loaf of bread, in order to describe who he is and what he has come to do, that being to offer nourishment and sustenance for eternal life. I am the bread of life, he says. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Notice his double use of the word never. Never hungry, never thirsty. A remarkable claim, to be sure. And then drawing on a reference very familiar to his listeners, he contrasts himself to the manna which God provided to the children of Israel during their 40-year journey in the wilderness. He says, I am like that, and I am not like that at all. Admittedly, like the manna of old, Jesus had come from God, was given by God, was a provision of God. But unlike the manna of old, which satisfied and sustained people for a day, he is the bread of life, which will sustain and satisfy those who come to him for eternity. An end to hunger, an end to thirst is promised to all who believe in him. Now we're talking spiritually, not physically. Confusing as that may have sounded to the disciples, and perhaps to us still today, this is a distinction which clearly sets Jesus apart from any other. No matter how full I am after eating a sumptuous meal, I am always hungry a couple of hours later. And certainly I am by the next morning. When I was growing up, we fell into something of a tradition in our home on Thanksgiving evening around supper time. No matter how much we had eaten earlier in the day, my dad always piled us kids into the car and we took off for White Castle for a bag full of grabbers and sliders, a St. Louis mainstay. Well, in a very like manner, when the people who had been more than sufficiently filled with good bread and good fish beside the Sea of Galilee one day came looking for him the next, they too came because they were hungry. They were physically hungry. They wanted another free meal. Show us another sign, they said. But this time, Jesus was more interested in talking with them about food for the soul than he was food for the body. And this, too, is the call of the gospel. Oh, we know the telltale signs of our physical hunger, stomachs growling, an onset of weakness or lethargy, an inability to concentrate, and so on. Extrapolate that out of a day, a week, a month, a year, and the results are catastrophic. In fact, since visiting Kenya, I have very intentionally tried to censor myself from ever saying, "What's for dinner? I'm starving." I know I am not starving. Oh, we know well the signs that we need food to nourish our bodies, but what about food for our souls? Are we as attuned to those telltale signs? Perhaps not. To name but a few, when we are spiritually depleted, we experience a loss or a waning of our interest in the things of God, of time spent in his word, of time spent in prayer. Both, we know, spiritual resources for strength and encouragement for Jesus and for his followers through the ages. When we experience that, we experience an apathy towards the needs of others and a lack of energy or willingness to do anything about those things of which we are aware. We experience a lack of discipline or a lack of obedience to apply God's given truths that we know to the practicalities of our lives. So in short, we get weak, we get lazy, we get lethargic spiritually when we are undernourished, just as we do when we are physically undernourished. Just as our bodies then need daily nourishment, so do our souls. Like the manna in the wilderness, food for the body sustains the body for a day. But Jesus alone is the bread of life, which devoured in faith is able to keep us alive forever. With this in mind, let me repeat something I said earlier. What Jesus does for us, we, his church, are called now to do for others. He calls us to join him in providing both food for the body and food for the soul to those who hunger and thirst. To reach out in his name to the needy world around us with the very real basic services for health and well-being that are needed, and to share with all who will listen the good news of who Jesus is and what he desires most to give and is alone able to give, that being a right relationship with God and the promise of eternal life. Food for the body meets a daily need, and that is necessary. And food for the soul to sustain us for eternity. The gospel calls us not to either or, but to both and it begins here in worship at this table. Friends, we cannot serve from an empty plate. We cannot offer to others that which we have not found for ourselves. This morning we are invited by Jesus himself to come to this table, to participate in this meal, to eat and drink of him. Whether here in the sanctuary or you're worshiping with us at home, I know that the bread that we eat and the cup that we drink hardly seems like the banquet table of the kingdom of God. But I assure you, it is a foretaste. Eaten physically, this food for the body will likely do little more than awaken your stomach juices and make you hungrier for a meal that is yet to come. And in a like manner, I hope that taken spiritually, your soul will also be awakened as a foretaste of a banquet feast that is yet to be prepared for us, that we can participate now in part and fully in an age yet to come, a banquet feast in which we will never, never hunger or thirst again. Using the words of St. Ambrose, this food which you receive, this bread which comes down from heaven, holds the substance of eternal life. This is Jesus Christ, the bread of life. We are all he wants, and he is all we need. So come to him, all who hunger and thirst. Amen. O Lord, open our hearts this day to receive this gracious gift that you give to us. Awaken in us a desire to hear and meet the needs of those around us. Awaken within us the desire that we have to know you more dearly, more closely, more intimately. Feed us this day, O Lord. We ask it and pray it in Jesus' name. Lord, hear our prayer.